Traditional Western Christian culture has been destroyed from an internal infiltration of cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism has aimed at the traditional family and the traditional marriage as outlined in the Bible between a man and a woman. It has taken aim at the natural act of heterosexuality. It has taken aim at the authority of the parents over the children. It has done this by the promotion of feminism, by the promotion of homosexuality, by the promotion of a culture of eros, where children are taught mandatory sex education in primary schools, introducing the concepts of homosexuality and sexual deviancy, by introducing multiculturalism to destroy the Christian foundation of the nation by introducing a multitude of different gods, by implementing political correctness into law in an attempt to stop criticism of the host nation, of we the people, against any of the evils and the corruption that we see resulting as a result of the introduction of Marxism. By implementing racism and hate speech laws, they are attempting to introduce a mandatory acceptance of cultural Marxism in your society, in your community, in your nation, but not only that, right in your home. In an attempt to silence we the people regarding the corruptions and the evil that we see exist. Cultural Marxism has destroyed traditional Western Christian culture in Britain, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, United States. All of the West has been under assault by cultural Marxism. And how have they done this? They've done this by working through the institutions, through government, through academia, through media, to introduce cultural Marxism and to destroy the traditional Western Christian cultural base that we grew up with, and that is embedded within all of the constitutions of the West, now being usurped by an overlay of complicated laws. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me. My name is Leon Pittard, and I am your host over the next 4 hours as we broadcast from the land down under in Australia. For listeners all around the world, thank you for joining us. Welcome. It is great to have you on board. We are here as an open source media platform offering critical analysis and commentary on political, economic, cultural, and religious changes taking place all around the world. We begin with our first family here in Australia. We're here to question the narrative of the bankers, of government, of the medical cartel, of the military industrial complex, of academia, of the education system and the legal systems developing worldwide. Each week we provide critical analysis and evidence from a biblical perspective as the timeline of prophecy unfolds, revealing a designed, manipulated, controlled, architecturally developed system known in today's language as a technocracy. You can vision a pyramid shaped system known in the Bible as the Kingdom of Babylon. This Kingdom of Babylon has been in development of thousands of years. It is Satan's masterpiece of tyranny on this earth. It is here to funnel you, we, the people, our children, into a satanic evil system designed to manipulate your mind in such a way that you will mandatorily accept the legal constraints and changes that are forced upon you just by being alive on the earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome along. For new listeners, I would encourage you to check out our Fair Dinkum Radio archives, where we have hundreds of past interviews and podcasts which are not designed as entertainment. They are designed as educational tools to help people think about the time in which we are living. You can subscribe for our weekly updates via email or RSS feed. And we do have listeners who support this broadcast, who believe in the focus of this broadcast, that believe in the biblical worldview that we hold. And if you appreciate our work, we certainly do appreciate your support in whatever way you are able to support us. This helps us in many different ways. It not only keeps this broadcast in a financially viable position to be able to pay costs, but it also provides encouragement to me as the host for the production and the development of this show. Each week we spend many hours in producing a 3 to 4 hour show every week in order to give our listeners a perspective of what we the people see is taking place around the world. So a big thank you to all of those who do support us, and I thank you for your letters of encouragement and support. This week on the broadcast, I will be speaking with James Corbett of The Corbett Report, and we'll be talking about Russia and China on the geopolitical chessboard. And we will be looking at the place that Russia and China does hold in the New World Order going forward. And I will be joined by Loren Murray, I hope, this week. We've scheduled a time, but as you know, last week it melted down 2 weeks ago. And at the time of this commentary recording, it is often before the interviews that I do in the United States any week. And often, if a guest, something happens, it falls over, we've got a technology problem, meltdown, which often happens, I announce them coming on the program, and then all of a sudden they're not here. But nevertheless, I hope that we can hook up with Loren Murray as we investigate the infiltration of the Jesuits into academia, into proletariat, and into the medical systems worldwide. Also, I will be a guest upon the Rents Radio Network this week with Deborah Tavares on her radio show. Deborah and I will be working together more closely into the future, and she has invited me to be a part of her program, so that will also be on our show this week. And for our spiritual broadcast this week, we continue focusing on Islam. And myth number 4 this week is Isa of the Quran the same as Yeshua of the Bible? Now, this is one of the claims of Islam, that Isa, the identity known as Isa, as outlined by Muhammad in the Quran, is the same human being, the same individual, as the man commonly known as Jesus Christ in the Bible. Is this identity, is this individual the same being? Well, that will be the focus of our spiritual broadcast this week, which is also a video hosted on Vimeo. But to begin with, target the children. And I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to look at our Fair Dinkum Wiki site and the evidence that is there on under Target the Children. And I want to thank Wayne, who's heading up the research unit, for the efforts he's put in this week. But to begin with in this program, we really need to focus on the fact that children are the target of the New World Order. Children are the target of any control system. No matter when it was, no matter where it is, they want the children. Why do they want the children? Because they are training the children for the next generation. And over the last series of generations through which I have lived through and through which my father lived through, we are seeing that the children are becoming the target of the controllers more and more, to train the children into this state system of the Kingdom of Babylon and to enable the children to develop a mindset that the state is God, that the state is the saviour, that the state knows what is best, that the state knows what is best through their science, through their media, through their legal system. And this is how the Kingdom of Babylon is developing right before our very eyes. And the specific target is the children. Now, many of the social engineers have outlined this for many years. But to begin with, I want to go back to creation. And just a point on this about creation is that you will often hear New World Order, New Age operatives, New World Religion operatives, Ted Turner, World Council of Churches, the UN religious bodies, all referring to the Creator. But they never nominate who the Creator is. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And it said, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, right here at the beginning of the Bible, the identity of the individual who is called God is Yahuwah. That is his name. And it is one of the greatest conspiracies that have ever existed, how the name of the Creator, Yahuwah, has been taken out of the Scriptures. Do you realize there was over 7,000 times the name of Yahuwah, known as the Tetragrammaton, in other words, it is identified by four letters, YHWH. It is spoken as Yahuwah. Some people pronounce it Yahweh. This is the identity of the true God in the Scriptures. And it has been removed from the authorized version of the King James Version over 7,000 times. Now, this is one of the greatest conspiracies, which I do go into in one of my spiritual podcasts in the past. But let's get back to the children. At the creation, Yahuwah created male and female. And he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Now, in these two verses, it is described the creation of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and how their place in the creation process was to marry, to be fruitful. Now, when I say marry, I'm talking about the act of sexual intercourse, and that they were to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is what Adam and Eve were called to do. Now, within Adam and Eve's DNA, within that creation process, was given the beautiful attraction to each other. The male being attracted to the female and the female being attracted to the male. And in that process, a man and woman would join together, and the scripture says they would become one flesh through that act of intercourse. And they would also become one spirit. Over time, a man and a woman who are committed to each other come to think like each other. They become amalgamated, if you like, where the scripture talks about this marriage relationship as being one body, one spirit. And this has a lot further spiritual applications and truth also, which I haven't got time to go into today, but for another podcast. But also, notice what this text says. It says that you should have dominion. Now, this is something that is connected with the New Age, Agenda 21, Marxist doctrine that is being propagated all throughout the world through the climate change fraud, is that it can be understood right from the beginning of scriptures that it is a absolute fraud, because man was given dominion over the fish. He was given dominion over the birds. He was given dominion over the cattle, over the horses, over the dogs. Whereas under the Agenda 21 Marxist climate fraud paradigm is that man is equal to the animals and the birds. And man himself must be subdued rather than man subduing the earth. And here we see right from the beginning there is a complete opposite of the truth being presented through the science of the legal bodies, through the academic cartel, through the educational cartel, through the proletariat. And so Yahuwah created humanity as male and female. And at another time, I would like to share with you how the male attributes in men and the female attributes in women are perfectly balanced in our Heavenly Father Yahuwah and in his Son Yeshua. And these attributes are beautiful attributes that man, that God has put within mankind. Now, I'm not talking about the sexual aspect here. I'm talking about the character identifying points, which today I'd like to focus on for a little while, as we look at what an article that I covered last week, sex between 13-year-olds is normal, says controversial traffic light tool sent to schools to teach about relationships. Now, it is the aim of the New World Order operatives, if we go back to Bertrand Russell in his book The Impact of Science on Society in 1953, on page 50 he said this, "Diet, injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that authorities consider desirable. And any criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible." Now, in this book, The Impact of Science, Bertrand Russell outlined the methods of the dystopian future that he, along with Huxley's and other social planners of their time, and really, as we traced last week, goes back to Darwinian, the concept of Darwinian social sciences, which is the complete opposite to the truth of creation, of the world being created by Yahuwah. Darwin come up with this idea, which we spoke about the other week on our program, which was that, of course, that mankind just evolved. Therefore, we are equal to an ant or a dog or a tree. We are not to have dominion over nature, but we are to actually be equal with. And this is part of the equality doctrine that I will touch on today, which is brought into sexuality, into man and women, and is about developing the transgender drone of the future. But Russell said that diet, injections, and injunctions. So think about that. He said there would be something put within the food, or the food would be modified. Ever heard of genetically modified food? Injections. Ever heard of vaccines? Injunctions. Injunctions mean interventions. It means psychologically training the child from a very early age to produce the sort of character and sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. You see, this is about the psychological, physical, biological transformation of the children into drones of the state. Listen to what Huxley said. "There will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing a dictatorship without tears." For those of you who have not seen it, go back and look at my video on mandatory acceptance. That is what is coming upon us today. It is exactly what Huxley foretold would happen. In the next generation or so, that's us. A pharmacological method. There are drugs that are changing people's mindsets about life, about reality, with the aim of bringing about a dictatorship without guns. This is about mandatorily making humanity accept the legal network of laws, that complicated network of laws which is saying, well, if you don't do this, you cannot be a happy member of this society. We will make it so hard for you. We will lean on you. We will penalise you. Producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies, so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but they will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda. Yeah, that sex between 9-year-olds is okay, right? That sex between 9-year-olds is normal. Or brainwashing. Or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. That's what he said. That's what Huxley said. This seems to be the final revolution. The mammalian, now, if we go back to Alfred Kinsey, go back to my previous video, for those of you who have not seen it, about the Kinsey conspiracy, two parts. Alfred Kinsey was one of the social engineers of the last generation, where it was his fraudulent, criminal, satanic experiments of sex with children that is used as the base of all scientific sexual propaganda that you hear coming out in the press today. Dr. Judith Reisman, who has documented the trail of the Kinsey legacy and the actual experiments that they conducted on children, forcing them to have multiple orgasms every day, recording how much pain it caused them. This criminal enterprise, today called the Kinsey Institute, and Alfred Kinsey's original studies are the backbone of the sexual revolution, are the backbone of the criminal, evil, satanic suggestions, which I'll get to in a moment, that being a male or a female is evil, that pedophilia is good, that homosexuality is good. These are all just normal conditions. This is what he said. The mammalian record thus confirms our statement that any animal which is not too strongly conditioned by some special sort of experience. Now, to understand what he's talking about here, he is linking humanity with mammals and that we are equal to animals. Understand that this is the first premise that is really wrong with any of these sort of propagandists that want to tell us that being a male is evil or being a female is evil. He's saying that what they are saying is that the only reason your child, if he is a male child, the only reason he grows up and wants to marry a woman is because you have trained him to be like that. It is not because of what's biologically actually in him. It goes on to say, by some sort of special experience, is capable of responding to any adequate stimulus. This is what we find in the more inhibited segments of our human species. And this is what we find among young children who are not too rigorously restrained in the early sex play. And so what Kinsey said was, here was this, children, they will react to any stimulus, doesn't matter who it's from. In other words, they're saying that sex is only a physical stimulus activity. And you see, what they've done, they've separated from what God's plan is, that sex is to be between a man and a woman that are committed to a lifelong commitment of love, of support, of care, that the sexual act forms a very small part of what we know today as marriage and the marriage relation. But the sexual activity in marriage was to be something that was holy. It was something that it was to be something that was sacred, not to be shared with multitudes of people, not to have cameras in your bedroom, not to have your sexual activities to be exposed to society, but to be a holy, sacred, private experience, which would form the amalgamation, if you like, and the glue that brings a man and a woman together. And as they go on in their elder years, the sexual part would decrease, but the care and commitment would continue for their entire lives. But see, what Kinsey basically developed, that the humanity, and this goes back to Darwin also, and many of the other social planners, that this was just, sex is just a stimulus. It's got nothing to do with love. It's got nothing to do with true emotional connection. It is just something that you activate. And that is why today we can have sex between 13-year-olds is normal. And we've got this traffic light tool sent to schools to teach them about relationships, described as safe and healthy sex between 13-year-olds. And as I went through last week, the Family Education Trust, which sounded the alarm over the pack in evidence to MPs, yesterday urged the government to distance itself from this advice. Although it is not specifically intended to form part of sex education lessons, it encourages teachers to view sex between 17-year-olds as normal. And it goes on, talks about green light behaviours. And, you know, this all starts at 7-year-old, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that segues right into a story that came out this week, which is a part of this transgender movement taking place around the world. Christmas shoppers should not buy gender-based toys for kids, the Greens say. Green Senator Larissa Waters has urged Christmas shoppers to rethink buying bright pink jewellery or dolls for little girls, linking gender stereotyped toys to domestic violence and pay inequality. The minor party's gender spokeswoman. This is how far we have gone, ladies and gentlemen, that we've actually got gender spokespeople. Hey, Larissa, you're a woman. I'm a man. Get over it. But it's like this whole doctrine has to be built around gender. Now, you will notice, if you've had your ears on and your eye salve on, you will notice over the last few weeks there has been an increasing amount of media focus and propaganda around violence against women. And all of these reports dealing with violence against women is aimed not at their lesbian girlfriends, but aimed at the heterosexual white male. Now, mind you, they never talk about violence against women in Islam, never talk about black men actually committing violence against their Muslim wives. Oh, no. No, no. The aim of the media narrative is to demonise heterosexual white males. That is the aim. And you will notice that the increase of media focus and narrative on violence on women is directed exactly against we the people of the host country. Not the minor groups, not the minority multicultural groups, not against homosexuality. It's not against transgender community. It is against heterosexuality. Exactly what God created. He created them male and female. Be fruitful and multiply. She has endorsed the No Gender December, where we all become drones, right? A campaign set up by grassroots group, which calls on retailers to stop using old-fashioned gender stereotypes. Now, you will see this word everywhere, this gender stereotypes, as this is part of the 1984 Newspeak. It warns aisles of pink and blue merchandise, while seemingly harmless, can lead to serious social problems, including violence against women and children. This, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the greatest lies that could be told in our generation. This is about the development, the push for the transgender drone of the technocracy, so that you can be male or female, doesn't matter, you choose. It doesn't matter how you were created. What's the most important thing? That every man does what is right in his own eyes. No respect for creation, no respect for the God of creation, no respect for the higher truths of spirituality, of subjecting the mind to the higher powers of the Creator and His will in your life. None of that. It's all about the stimulus response mechanism. If it feels good, do it. Ever heard of the Nike advertising? Just do it. Just do it. This is the social psychological programming of the children today. Can lead to social problems, including violence against women. And you will look at, they say, the boys, of course, domestic violence. Well, let me ask you a question. If this proposition was correct, and you give girls MK-47 toys to play with, are they going to be the next generation of committing violence against the boys? Well, of course they are. And I would like to propose to you anyway that the violence is committed via women against men in a completely different manner. It is a psychological violence. I get people writing to me all the time about how the family law courts and women in their lives have destroyed men's lives. That violence is never talked about. You see, there is a complete reversal of what is taking place here. Now, I don't deny, and let me make this clear, I don't deny that violence against women occurs by men. I do not deny that at all. But I do not believe that the situation is as it is painted in the narrative. And I don't condone it, and I don't believe that any man has the right to use any force on any woman. I've said that over and over again ad nauseum, because a woman is to be treated, and this is the point that the pushers of the narrative don't want to deal with, is that the woman is described in the scripture as the weaker vessel. That is why men, and we as men, are to respect our women, our wives, our daughters, the women in the nation around us, with a greater level, if you like, of respect, with a greater level of tenderness, with a greater level of kindness than what we do the men in it around us. And that is a completely, that is the right concept of what God calls us to be as men, as strong men, to stand up for women. If we see women being abused, we should step in there. We should stand up for women. Of course we should. But this is a completely different idea from the actual narrative. Now, Senator Waters said shoppers should stop and think about how toys are being marketed to children this Christmas. Whilst the starkly separate aisles of pink and blue might seem harmless, especially to well-meaning relatives and friends, setting such strong gender stereotypes at early ages can have long-term impacts, including influencing self-perception and career aims. Outdated stereotypes about girls and boys and men and women perpetuate gender inequality. Well, here it is. This is the bottom line of what they're aiming at. Gender inequality. Now, I find it interesting that Larissa Waters has attained to the great height of being a power broker in society. Here she is. She's a senator, and she's there squawking about gender inequality. She's got there. She's in a position of influence and power. And yet here she is, and I can tell you now what will happen. It would not matter if you had 95% women in government, banking, academia, medical cartel, every single aspect of life. They would still be perpetuating that white heterosexual men are evil and that they must still take further control to weed them out altogether. I can tell you they'd find the reasons. She goes on to say, perpetuate gender equality, which feeds into serious problems such as domestic violence and the gender pay gap. While such serious problems seem so far removed from choosing children's toys, it's important that we think about this issue, especially when so many children's toys are being bought. We need to be aware of the dangers of indoctrinating children into thinking about their gender in a certain way. And you know, I can tell you, this is just so sick. This is like, and where this is headed, I can tell you where it is headed. It is headed that you are not allowed to teach your children. So if you've got a little boy, You're not allowed to teach him that he should grow up to be a strong leader in the marriage, that he should be a strong leader in the nation. That's evil. You see, and that is what is taking place. It is the psychological transformation of developing this, what they say, gender stereotyping, so that if you dress your little boy as a boy, or if you dress your little girl as a girl, that, of course, is evil. That's against the law. Listen to what Dr. Judith Reisman talked about. The influence of Kinsey, and this is going back a generation from where we are, in influencing world leaders.
Kinsey, however, was training global leaders. This is University of Berkeley. Thousands and thousands of future doctors, lawyers, judges. Thousands and thousands of future social workers, people who were in legislatures, would be trained hearing what this man was saying. And we'll talk about what he did say. He traveled in Canada, Europe, United Kingdom. This is Copenhagen. Everyone is listening to every word he says, as though indeed he was a major leader guru. He was, here is in Germany, medical doctors, educators, judges, lawyers, psychologists, legislators, these are gynecologists. He would change the world. And he changed your world.
He changed your world, ladies and gentlemen. He changed my world. And he's changed all of our worlds. Alfred Kinsey, very, very influential in developing the system that we have today in the advocacy of the transgender movement. Gender identity disorder. The debate in the transgender community over whether or not gender identity disorder should be depathologized has raged for some time. However, recent activity from within the larger queer community adds a new dimension to the debate and even threatens to overwhelm those transgender people who favour continuation of the the gender identity disorder as a bona fide psychiatric diagnosis. Now, we need to examine this further in that this gender identity disorder is like homosexuality in the past, like bestiality, like pedophilia, have all been categorized as psychological disorders and not normal. And of course, as the progression of society has continued downwards, just as the Bible said that it would, listen to this. This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Well, the state loves that. The state wants the children to be disobedient to parents. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. Now, the natural affection that God, Yahuwah, created in man, in Adam and in Eve, was a natural affection towards the opposite sex, not towards the same sex. Homosexuality, pedophilia, gender identity disorder are not natural affections. The scripture says that this know, in the last days, perilous times will come. One of the signs, one of the indicators was that mankind would be without natural affection. They would love pleasure more than be lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And this is what we see under the new world religion agenda. The churches themselves are introducing homosexuality even into the priesthood. Even the pastors are advocating this unnatural affection and saying that this is all now blessed by God, forget the Bible, all of those things are in the past. That is outdated stereotypes. Gender identity disorder has now become normal. This is not a psychological problem. That this is all a part of creation. I mean, after all, Alfred Kinsey said so. Charles Darwin and the Darwinian socialist system teaches that do whatever's right in your own eyes. You see? Now, there is a false science, of course, that is perpetuated with this whole argument. Paul talking to Timothy, he said, keep that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. And I propose to you that the newspeak today of 1984 that George Orwell wrote about, the newspeak of outdated stereotypes, is profane and vain babblings. That is what is being propagated through the media today as the narrative. The narrative, ladies and gentlemen, of this generation is nothing but vain and profane babblings. Saying that, well, if you were born a boy, you're not really a boy. You can be a girl. And after all, a lot of the argument is about the state supporting the sex change operations. It is about your tax money supporting the funding of physical operations to change a man to a woman or a woman to a man. This is profane. These are vain babblings. And listen to it. This is the kicker. 1 Timothy 6:20. Oppositions of science falsely so called. You know what the climate change fraud is, ladies and gentlemen? It is science falsely so called. If you're born a male and you say you're a woman, that is science falsely so-called. It is not natural affection. And part of the argument, part of the debate that's taking place is whether or not insurance companies should be able to pay for this disorder in sex change operations, in the manipulation of the biology of humanity, that anyone that puts their hand up should be able to say, well, hang on, I don't want to be a man anymore, I want to be a woman, therefore my insurance company should pay for that to take place. And we've brought you stories in the past where prisoners were expecting the state to pay for their sex change operations. It's just unbelievable. Listen to this. Judge compares incest and pedophilia to past attitudes towards homosexuality, claiming they may not be taboo anymore. But this is all linked, friends. Believe me, it is all linked. The decriminalising of homosexuality. It was once a psychological disorder on the DSM. Of course, that has been removed. And now there is moves, of course, all around the world to make this all legal perfectly. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Into the near utopia of the transgender drone of the future. What's the next step? The next step is incest, pedophilia, and bestiality. Target the children, ladies and gentlemen. This is what it's about. It was in the 50s. If this was the 50s and you had a jury of 12 men, which is what you'd invariably have, they would say, it's unnatural for a man to be interested in another man, or for a man to be interested in a boy. Those things have gone. Where's this coming from? A Sydney judge. And you're wondering why pedophiles don't get sentences that really reflect the criminal activity of them destroying children's lives. Ever wonder why the Kinsey Institute still exists? Ever wonder? Well, you want to think about who funded it.
A very lovely lady, Margaret Mead. Well, this was just the beginning days. The Rockefeller Foundation financed the infamous Kinsey Report, which some of you may know came out with the fraudulent conclusion that almost a majority, something like 35 or 40% of American males had in their lifetime one or more homosexual experiences, and this was perfectly normal. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation was forced to cut off funding for Dr. Kinsey when it emerged that Dr. Kinsey was himself bisexual and made much of his research in gay bars in Lower Manhattan, sadomasochistic bars, where he interviewed men that he had sex with and said, these are normal Americans. So this is the Rockefeller Foundation.
And that was William Engdahl, and this is what these things that we are dealing with today are not things that have just come upon us. The things that we are dealing with today are seeds that have been sown through our earlier generations without natural affection. A Sydney judge has compared incest and pedophilia to homosexuality, saying the community may no longer see sexual contact between siblings and between adults and children as unnatural or taboo. District Court Judge Gary Nielsen said just as gay sex was socially unacceptable and criminal in the 50s and 60s, it is now widely accepted. A jury might find nothing untoward in the advance of a brother towards his sister once she had sexually matured, had sexual relationships with other men, and was now available, not having a sexual partner. He also said the only reason incest is still a crime is because of the high risk of genetic abnormalities in children born from these relationships. But even that falls away to an extent because there is such ease of contraception and readily access to abortion. Of course. Just kill the baby, it's no problem, as long as you're having fun, right? This judge made the extraordinary and bizarre comments in the case of a 58-year-old man known for legal reasons as MRM, who is charged with repeatedly raping his younger sister in the family's Western Sydney home. Can you believe this? Questioning the narrative in the judiciary, ladies and gentlemen. We are questioning the narrative of the media, of the politicians, about saying that men cannot be men, women cannot be women. Gender dysphoria is a condition in which there is a conflict between the person's physical gender and the gender which he or she identifies with. You know, it'd be like me waking up tomorrow morning and saying, I don't like the fact that I've got two arms. I want three arms. I demand the state put another arm on me because this is what I identify with. I identify as being a three-armed individual. Unbelievable. California's transgender student law. Kids can choose bathrooms and sports teams. California on Monday become the first state. Now, this is incredible, this story, because we've covered in the past in Sweden and the Nordic countries how they're doing away with the boys' and girls' toilets and everything has to become unisex. We've covered in the past teachers prowling the playground in Australia, listening for children who might talk about mummy and daddy as normal. The absolute policing in the education system and telling children that they cannot say that their mother and father's relationship as heterosexuals is normal, because that would discriminate, of course, against the new utopia, right? Against homosexuality, against transgender. It became the first state to enshrine certain rights. Here it is. Here's the legal system. For transgender students in state law, requiring public schools to allow those students access to whichever restroom and locker room they want. So there's a locker room for women, right, for girls. And there's some guy that says he's really a woman, but he's a guy, right? So he's really got male attributes, male genitalia? And he says, no, I'm really a woman. So he is now allowed to go into the women's toilets and into the women's locker rooms by law. Democrat Governor Jerry Brown announced that he had signed AB 1266, which also will allow trans, listen to this, transgender kindergarten through 12th grade students to choose whether they want to play boys or girls sports. The new law gives students the right to participate in sex-segregated programs, activities and facilities based on their self-perception and regardless of their birth gender. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Normalising pedophilia, and now a defence of pedophilia or just another sexual orientation, has been published in The Guardian. From pedophilia bringing dark desires into light. Pedophiles may be wired differently. This is radical stuff. But there is a growing conviction, notably in Canada, that pedophilia should probably be classified as a distinct sexual orientation, like heterosexuality or homosexuality. Two eminent researchers testified to the effect to a Canadian Parliament commissioned last year and the Harvard Mental Health letter of July 2010 stated boldly that pedophilia is a sexual orientation and therefore unlikely to change. We already know that those who abuse children sexually are always dangerous. This is why they must register from the police, with the police when released from prison. Now, so you've got judges coming out saying incest and pedophilia may be normal, right? You've got the media coming out and saying pedophilia is really a condition. So as soon as society moved away from what God's plan was, which was that he created them a male and a female, that he said, be fruitful and multiply. And further on in the scriptures, he said, it is abomination for a man to lie with a man, or for a woman to lie with a woman, or for a man to lie, and he linked it, a man to lie with a beast, or a woman to lie with a beast. What we see developing today, in the timeline of history, as we rapidly enter into the period of time known in the Bible as the time of trouble such as never was. Let me tell you something. I've had friends tell me that in their workplace today, they are told they are not normal because they are heterosexuals. And because the people around them are homosexuals and they're trying to push homosexuality onto their lives. And when these people speak up and say, look, you know, I don't agree with this. They say, you're not normal today. You see? Without natural affection. And so the legal system has turned the unnatural affection into legal affection. It's not easy to listen to talk. Another article there, I'll leave that with you, for those who want to have sex with children. But let's think about it. Think about the vaccine schedule for children. Remember what Bertrand Russell said? Diet, injections. Look at infant formulas loaded with corn syrup and sugar. This corn syrup, ladies and gentlemen, that is in all the infant formulas, and I would say, I looked at some of the figures recently, about 80% of processed foods. This corn syrup is all GMO corn syrup. And there have been many articles linking the GMO, fluoride, chemicals in BPA plastics to the reason why many children and the reason why much of humanity is changing biologically into the transgender drone of the future. Vaccines linked to childhood cancers existing in this man-made medication matrix filled with monopolizing eugenicists, the path of obstacles placed in front of our freedoms is illuminated with yet another travesty being committed on the next generation. The propagators of pestilence with their childhood immunisation program have been able to covertly subject the youth of the world to a constant flow of formaldehyde. Look at the ingredients in vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there was no monkey DNA in humanity, despite what Charles Darwin professed, before monkey DNA was put within the vaccines. Vaccines have cancer viruses, monkey DNA, formaldehyde, aluminium, mercury. What is this doing to our children? It is changing the biological makeup of humanity. We go from that to Florida and the satanic church to pass out children's colouring books in public schools. Have you ever wondered what a satanic children's colouring book might look like? Well, thanks to the great state of Florida, you can now know for certain. The satanic children's colouring book, the big book of activities, is being disseminated in schools. A child-friendly Satan statue for Oklahoma State Capitol awaits final judgment. It may seem absurd, or given the moral state of the nation appropriate, but the grounds committee of the Oklahoma State Capitol, the Preservation Commission, has been asked by the Satanic Temple, a group from New York, to place a privately funded statue of Satan, complete with pentagram, and two fawning children at Lucifer's knee on the Capitol grounds near the Monument of the Ten Commandments. In the statue, which is to be cast in bronze, is near completion. Satan is depicted as Baphomet with a goat's head and horns, and there is a boy on his left and a girl on his right. Ladies and gentlemen, this statue with the children on his knee is there for a purpose. Because if you go back and study all occult systems in the esoteric knowledge of satanic occultism, it all involves incest, pedophilia, and child sacrifice. That is why the boy and the girl are on the knees looking up into Baphomet's face in a worshipful adoration, willing to be subjected to sexual deviancy. You know, it's incredible, the sick world in which we live in. This know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They hate the righteous, friends. The world in which we live, those who follow Yahuwah and walk in his ways will be isolated, hunted, persecuted. The children will turn against the parents. The parents will turn against the children. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was. I want to ask you a question, friends. If you see these things unfolding all around us, I want to appeal to those who don't know God, who don't know who Yahuwah is, the creator of the universe. These things were written thousands of years ago, that this is what is taking place right before our eyes. The transgender drone society of the future. The merging of technocracy with humanity. The transhumanist agenda is a satanic agenda to take away the beauty, the purity, the natural affection that Yahuwah has given his people. Paul says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. Until next time, goodbye.
To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
The mother-child bond, which is the foundation of freedom in society, the mother-child bond was very strong in the post-war period. From that strength, from the strength of that bond, came the radicalization of the 60s. And so if you're in charge, right, and you get that the stronger the mother-child bond, the greater the chance of rebellion from adults, then what you need to do is you need to break the mother-child bond.
What do you think women's liberation was about? Let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded women's lib, you know? And we're the ones who got all over the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation. He says, and you want to know why? He says, there were two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was, we couldn't tax half the population before women's lib. And the second reason was, now we get the kids in school at an early age. We can indoctrinate the kids how to think. This breaks up the family. The kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them. And so those are the two primary reasons for women's love, which I thought up to that point was a noble thing. You know, when I saw their intentions behind it, where they were coming from when they created it, the thought of it, I saw the evil behind what I thought was a noble adventure.
So how do you separate the mothers from the children so that the children grow up more susceptible to political authority? Well, it's very cunning. What you do is you fund radical feminism. And radical feminists then go out and say that you are chattel at home, that serving your children and helping your husband is some sort of bondage or semi-enslavement. But to be really free, to be genuinely, gloriously free, you have to go out and become a wage slave. Because you see, obeying a boss is freedom, but helping out your family is slavery. That feminism was to a large degree funded either directly by the state or indirectly through the state protection of feminist academics. This is particularly heinous when the quote solution for social problems is placed in the hands of the state. I think that recognizing that the state has an incentive to take the kids out of the orbit of the parents. I mean, as I said, it gives them more tax money, but also, of course, it gives the states the opportunity to propagandize the kids when they're very young, right? The kids want to get their hands on the young earlier and earlier, because, you know, kids who have a great and strong maternal bond, you know, tend to be pretty skeptical of abusive authority, i.e. the state or other forms of authority. The best way to fight the power of the state, to fight the power of unjust religiosity, to fight the power of any brutal hierarchy is to stay home and love the living heck out of your kids. That is how we become free.